like cliche to say, well, it's an honor and a privilege to be here today. And yet, the reason that's said so much is because it's true. It is my honor to welcome these two. These guys have been a fun addition to Gateway for me. They came up from Florida, and I'm just sort of confused why anyone would want to do that, you know, come from Florida to Delaware. I'm just messing around, guys. I like it here. And since they came, they've been working. They went straight to the work of Jesus and throwing themselves into praying and fasting, helping people, living by faith. Every little decision that they've tried to make, I've seen these guys press in. Father, what do you have for us? What do you want? And not making logical decisions, you know. They've worked hard to not make logical decisions. I've seen you guys do this. You've been working hard to make spiritual, spirit-led decisions. You've been exercising your faith. And I see you as just tirelessly about the King's work. And I mean tirelessly. From at least my perspective, I'm sure you guys do get tired in secret, but like from where I'm standing, I'm like, there they go again. They're still on it. So would you please welcome, I invited them to do this, by the way. They weren't like knocking my door down saying, can we please share? No, I invited them to do this because I feel like they have learned some stuff in their private life with regard to what do you do with this whole area of like money, which we don't talk about as much as we think about. Would you agree that you think a little bit about money from time to time? And it's a Jesus issue, isn't it? So I asked Rusty and Lena to come, share some of their story, introduce some of what lessons and truths God's taught them, and to just kind of begin a journey that I hope for some of you, you'll connect with them after today and say, I want to learn more. I want to go deeper in this thing. So would you please give a standard Gateway welcome to Rusty and Linda Miller?
Well, thanks, everyone. I just want to welcome everyone. Thank you for coming today. We have a few things to tell you guys about our journey. First of all, we want to show you a cardboard testimony that we did in Florida. And it's about where we were into where we're going to and where we're at now. So if you'll run that clip, maybe I can get Linda to, if you can't see it, to be able to read it.
Is that us? That's not us. That's not us. I think.
I can back it up.
Yeah, you gotta back it up. I'm pretty sure. A little forward. No, it's still. Maybe they did come before. I don't know. That was how many years ago? So I'll talk. If you haven't done a cardboard testimony, oh my gosh, the services are amazing. There's just a few, two or three more, and then it's us. This was our home church in Florida for 8 of the 10 years that we lived there. And these people, that's Corbin, he was our associate pastor's son that loved roller coasters. And he had a tumor on his neck that had to be surgically removed. And they told him that he'd never ride roller coasters again. And within 6 months, they had cleared him. You can't hear the music. I think they're playing Amazing Grace. Now, y'all are going to feel really good about yourselves after you read this. That's us. I know you can't see it. Ready? It says $80,000 on credit cards. Selfish. Yeah, ooh. Selfish and self-centered. Marriage falling apart. Trust gone. Ready for divorce. That's our story in a nutshell. And then 2.5 years later, Our cards were paid off. And that was just credit cards. We still had, we had loans on cars that we really couldn't afford, and other loans where we had tried to pay off credit cards in the past. We were now tithing and giving joyfully, and we were trusting Jesus, and our marriage was totally restored. Yeah.
So that's where the story begins. We're going to tell you a little bit about, well, you already know where we were and to where we're at now. So one of the biggest things was, has anybody felt hopeless?
You don't have to raise your hand.
You don't have to raise your hand. Because I know that we felt that way while we were in Florida. And we didn't have a church family to help us or pray for us until we started having a mindset change.
Well, when we got to Florida, I was doing traveling nursing. Things were already bad, but we had enough income coming in that we were kind of able to do that balancing act. But when we got to Florida, the contract that I signed, I just didn't see the fine print, and they weren't using me very much. So I was staying home more than I was working, and I wasn't getting paid, and I couldn't find a job, which is just crazy since there's a nursing shortage. Rusty, you know, had built houses, and now he couldn't find a job anywhere. I mean, he couldn't even find a job at Lowe's or Home Depot. Nobody would hire us. And so our situation, which where we had been barely hanging on and just making it, now was starting to really fall apart.
I remember one rainy day, I was sitting out on the deck, and Linda was at, I think she worked that day, and Cody was in bed. He went down for a nap, and I was just sitting there wondering, there's got to be more to life than what we had, because we were so going down in like a spiral. It just seemed like there was no hope. And I remember thinking in the back of my mind, the way that I was taught, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, Deuteronomy 31:6. So we went on and just kept on doing what we were doing, and I knew that God was reaching out to us because our situation was hopeless.
For me, I think I would, well, I know I was. I was trying to fill a void that was in my life with money and things. And if you've been there and done that, it just doesn't work. I can remember year after year in our marriage, I was like, okay, I'd look at our tax return. Okay, if we can make this much more, I'll be happy. And it'll fix our problems and everything will be good. And then our marriage will be good. Not a good way to think, but that's exactly how I thought and how I felt. And God was pursuing us. I didn't really understand that then. I didn't have a lot of teaching in that area coming up. I didn't know God. I didn't know him, period. I just thought he was some big dude on a cloud, that if I kept the Ten Commandments, I would go there someday, but I wasn't in any hurry to get there, truthfully.
I remember the next door neighbor lady, she had a son, and his name was Ethan. He was the same age as Cody. And they played together, and we got to get to know her and she, really well. And they went to a church down there, and that's actually where she invited us to go. And we interacted with her and trusted her, and she invited us to church one day. And she said, "Will you guys come Sunday with me?" And so we said, "Yeah, we'll go. We'll come Sunday with you." So we went Sunday, and we fought all the way to church.
Because that's what we did.
And then we fought all the way home. But anyhow,
we really fought on the way home because
got there, there was the preacher was teaching on tithing, and that was probably the last thing that we wanted to hear. But I knew in my heart that tithing worked.
But I didn't. I didn't even know what tithing was, but I had been raised going to church every Sunday, so either I didn't hear it or he didn't preach it. I don't know which it was. But I will tell you that I thought that was the most ridiculous. I told Rusty, I said, we will not go back. That made no sense.
We went back.
No, I did. I said that. There were a lot of things I said back then. Because it didn't make any sense. We didn't even have enough money to get through. We were so overextended. It was ridiculous. And our credit cards had maxed out. So now we were in a real bind. And so here is this God that is going to ask me and Rusty to give money that we didn't have. I'm serious. We really fought on the way home that day, and we fought all that week. And he would not back down. He said, "We are tithing," and I was like, "This could be grounds." I was a mess, y'all.
She probably thought about that. Actually,
yeah,
divorce.
Yeah, I threw that word around.
But I knew that I would always love Linda, no matter what we went through, and I knew there was always hope. But sometimes it did feel hopeless. So when we went back that next Sunday. I don't know. I just knew that in my heart that tithing worked because I've seen my parents do it. I've seen other people do it, and I knew that it worked. It would get us out of a mess if we trusted God. So what we did was we went back, and we wrote a check, which was $38, which was the last money we had in our account.
That was...
You want to tell the story?
Well, I almost vomited. I am so serious because everything in me said, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And he's in big trouble. God's in big trouble because this is not going to work. And he put that money in there and it just took.
I knew for sure that she was going to take it back out of the offering. I mean, really. No. But she didn't.
I didn't. But I did walk out there. I did walk out in the parking lot that day. I remember walking to the car. And because one of the few things that I remembered the pastor saying was that this was an area you could test God. So let me tell you, I was having a talk. And I was telling him, this is crazy. And if this is you, and if this works, then you're going to have to come through. Because otherwise, I am not buying into this. There's just no way. So, the next morning, the telephone rings. I mean, it wasn't even 24 hours. And the travel recruiter that I had for my nursing assignments, he was just chit-chatting with me. And he said, "Hey, do you remember such and such?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, she did an assignment for us, so you get a referral bonus." And I was like, "Oh, great." And he said, "If you still have that same account, we'll wire it in there today." Now, at this point, we're $200 short for the rent, and we don't even have any money for food. And I said, "Okay." And I'm thinking, "All right, $25, $50. And he said, $500. And I just about fell out because I knew, like I was aware that this was God showing me. That, yes, you can test me on this, but I'm going to show you. I am going to show you. And
there was one thing that I forgot to tell you. When Melinda invited us to church, she had been coming over. Like, they seemed like they ordered pizza every couple of days. And when they ordered pizza, it was a buy one, get one free.
Oh, yeah.
And she would knock on our door and say, "Hey, you want this extra large pizza?" And we didn't have any really food in our pantry, not as much as really I'd like to have, but anyhow, she would give us a free pizza, and at that point in time, I didn't know that that was really God providing for us, but he was, and that's the ironic thing, that even though we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing, he was still loving us and still providing for us. And
he was drawing us in. We didn't really have that revelation at first. That came later. But over the course of the next few weeks and months, especially me, I was really learning what trust meant and how to trust God and how to not think so logically, you know, on paper. that I just had to, I had to do what his word said. And I was starting to read my Bible, and our marriage was starting to come around. And, you know, I can remember praying, and I was still kind of, I was a mess still. And I said to God, I was like, you know, if you would work on Rusty and you would fix, yeah, this, this, and this, well, then our marriage would be better. Because we're, you know, we're getting there on our finances. We still had a ton of debt to pay off. But I was, you know, really hoping God would help me out and fix Rusty.
Well, he actually did fix me, but it wasn't in a way that she thought that it I should be fixed. But anyhow,
well,
what happened was I seen Linda honestly reading her Bible and digging into the Word every day in the morning and at night, and it was just amazing. And I was still going about my business, and it made a difference the way that she acted towards me, and that changed my heart. And like I said, it didn't happen the way she probably thought, but it was in God's way. And it was just amazing the way how he did that, because sometimes the way we want to fix people is not how God sees it. He needs to fix them. So
yeah.
It was just amazing how that worked, and we just really started prospering. And I remember walking out to the expedition one time, and I don't know what I was looking for, but I looked over top of the visor, and there was a $100 bill folded up. And I knew that that wasn't mine, and it wasn't Linda's, but it was in our truck. And I'm sure that someone put it in there by God and had them do that, because Linda never had no money. I mean, she
had
cards, but she never had no money. But
I had plenty of cards.
But he was just faithful in showing us how great and how magnificent he is, and that he owns it all.
And you know, we were our hearts were really changing, and we were starting to really get what God was wanting to do through us and with us. We were starting to get a revelation, and I think that's like that's a huge thing for us in our walk, is if we get a revelation of what God says and what he wants and what he wants to do, then everything else will start falling into place. And it's not like we didn't have a lot of work to do, because we did. We had to clean up this mess that we made, not just financially, but in our marriage, in our parenting. You know, Rusty started really realizing he needed to model out for Cody, and now we have two younger children too. He's got to model out what it means to be the leader of the family, to be a tither, to be a giver, to be a father and a husband. He had to model all that out, and my boys needed to see me coming alongside their dad in agreement, because you know what? There's a lot of things we do not agree on. Even sometimes with, I'll tell that later with the giving.
Oh, okay. But we got the tithing down, and we were tithing faithfully, and we didn't have to test God anymore in that, because his word will not return void. He did it exactly what we did. We tested him, and that he was faithful and came through. So if any of you guys are thinking about testing him in that, test him, and I promise you, he'll never let you down. I know for sure.
And, you know, we learned, too, that we were learning about our authority as a tither. Uh-huh. Because, y'all know, Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy.
John 10:10.
He's not going to stop trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's what he does. And so we really had to know. We had to learn and know and stand firm. And any check that we write out for a tithe or for giving, it doesn't leave our hands until we've prayed over it. And we release God's blessing on it to go out. We actually pray a fish and loaves anointing on it, that wherever it's going, that it will keep multiplying until it has met the need that it went out for. And we pray for a return, too. And we'll get into that.
He was also teaching us about giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, 9 and 8.
9, 6 through 11.
9. Oh, 9,
that
6.
Was, okay. That was kind of the, it was mostly 9, 8 at that time, which says God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all of our needs so that we can give to others, and we're still going to have enough to meet our needs. And so, you know, here we were getting our tithing down. We were doing Dave Ramsey, which is a great course. There's a lot of great courses out there that will help you be accountable and start getting things in order. We desperately needed that, so it was a real blessing for us. So we had our emergency fund. You know, you have to get $1,000 in your savings account.
That's the first thing he teaches you, put $1,000 in your savings account.
So that we didn't
account.
Feel like we had to use credit cards anymore. We had an emergency account. A very long story cut short. Some friends of ours were at the scene of a horrible accident. Chris was in the fire. He was a firefighter, so he went right to the scene, and it was a family of five, and two of their three children were killed instantly, and the father was in very bad shape.
He was actually, his arm was almost tore off, and he was, like, really messed up, and it wasn't their fault. What happened was a crate had fell off of a crabbing truck, and he swerved to miss it.
No, another car swerved.
Or another car swerved, and he hit them,
and they just rolled.
And they rolled, and it killed two of the children. And then, but he worked for a company down in Florida, which was Publix, and that amazed me. That was an amazing story right there. We found out that Publix kept paying him a whole year, just like he wasn't even there. That's a blessing,
Just to take care of them. So Chris, that had been there, you know, the mom got out. She was okay physically, and she just kept saying, please pray for us, please pray for us. So Chris knew that they were Christians. I don't remember how we got linked up with their church, you know, via internet, but we were following this family's story, and this woman had the most incredible faith. I just to hear her speak, you know, I would read her words that she would post about, you know, losing the children. And so I started feeling this burden. And I was praying one night, and God said, you know, I want you to send a check. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, how much do we send? And I was pretty sure he said $500, which was a very, very large amount of money.
That was half of our savings.
At that point. And I thought, well, I don't think that would be God, because he wouldn't ask me to take money out of savings. We just got that, you know, where it's supposed to be. So I said, so I asked Rusty, I told him what I was thinking, and I said, will you pray about it? And he said, yeah, you know, how much did God tell you? I was like, well, I'm not going to tell him, because he might get less, and then we'll go with that. I know.
That's just wrong.
I'm being real here, okay? Y'all can judge me, but...
So the next morning, I woke up, and she said, well, did you get a number? And I said, yeah, what did you get? And she said, you tell me first. So I said, well, I got $500. She's like, oh! Not really, but it was $500, and that's what we actually wrote a check.
So this was on a Friday. I remember so specifically, and my parents were living in Florida at that time. So I wrote out the check, and I wrote a letter, and I sent it to their church. That's the only place I knew to send it. And Sunday morning, my parents, they went to church with us, and they said, hey, we want to go out to lunch afterwards. Can we take you to lunch? And we're like, yeah, sure. So they took us out to lunch, and we're having lunch, and we get done, and my mom slides this envelope over and says, we really felt like we were supposed to give this to you, but don't open it up till you get home. So I opened it up in the car, and because that's what I do.
Couldn't wait.
No self-control.
Does anybody want to guess how much that was for?
$500.
It was for $500. So we never had to take any money.
I never had to transfer the money out of our savings to our checking, because I went in Monday morning and deposited this check. So now he's taken us up this, you know, this level of, okay, we were tithing, that wasn't all. So now he wanted us to learn how to give and to trust him that anything he was going to ask us to give, he was going to more than take care of us. Right. And that's what we were learning.
Now, we were giving, and wherever God would say give, we would give and not ask or question if we knew it was from him. I mean, you just don't give everybody money because you have to be spirit-led.
Right. You want to be in
debt. Because you'll wind up with no money. But if you do what the Holy Spirit asks you to, you'll never go wrong. But we started giving, and then my business really started prospering.
Can I tell that story about, this is backing way up. There are going to be times that God will, he wants to help you, and it's not going to make any sense. But when I was not getting any work as a nurse, all of a sudden I got invited to this Bible study. Well, now, I didn't want to go because I was embarrassed that I didn't really know the Bible, and I was going to have to look over and see where they were turning. But I went, and at the end of the Bible study, one of the girls was asking for prayer requests, and I was like, I am not saying a word because nobody's going to know how bad things are. So I just sat there, and one of the girls said, I need somebody to become a realtor for my husband because he buys houses and fixes them up and sells them, and I don't want to do it. They had a lot of kids, and she was homeschooling. And I'm telling you, honestly, there had to have been an angel right there, because the next thing I knew, and I didn't do it, my hand was up in the air volunteering to get my real estate license. And I'm like, this does not make any sense, because I'm a nurse, number one, and number two, we don't have any money to pay for all that goes into getting your real estate license. She only lived a mile down the road, which was probably good, because I probably, if I had had too far to go to follow her to her husband's office, I probably wouldn't have gone. I got there, and he goes, oh, you'll do it? And apparently. And he said, great, I will pay for the class, I'll pay for your licensing fee, and I'll buy your business cards. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess I'm going to be a real estate agent. And wouldn't you know, there was a class starting in like 3 days, and there was enough room. So I jumped in, and I tell you that because it seemed, that just didn't seem natural. Like, I'm a nurse. I'm not a real estate agent. And the great thing was, Florida was about to boom. We didn't know that, but God knew it. So the real estate market blew up. He was just, this guy Tom, wonderful Christian family, he's basically just handing me listings. All I had to do was go take pictures, punch some information in the computer, and show up and get my check. I mean, it truly was that simple. Rusty, he took a job painting because he couldn't find any work.
Yeah, I couldn't find any work nowhere. It was almost, well, the reason why I couldn't find any work is because God had a lesson that he wanted to teach us, actually.
Yeah.
And
but you took that job painting.
I didn't want to paint. I hated painting. But I learned how to paint. Well, I knew how to paint, but I learned by a professional for about eight or nine months that I painted. But while I was painting for him, I met this real estate lady, not Linda, another lady that was on the island, and she said, do you know how to put in cabinets? And I said, yeah. So I put these cabinets in for her, and she says, well, what else do you know how to do? And I said, well, I can do about anything. She said, we need a handyman on the beach or on the island. So she said, if you'll call people back and you show up on time, she said, you'll never go hungry. And so I did, and that's actually where my business started. And she gave me, every time she'd sell a house, there was always something to do. And it was just a blessing from God that I didn't even know. But if I wouldn't have took that painting job, I would have never met her. So sometimes we have to walk through things that we're not comfortable with to get to where God wants us to be.
So this whole journey, what was happening inside of us was that we were getting this vision. And that's what we've really learned, is that the vision inside of us had to get really big. Like, we had to really start seeing ourselves, our marriage, our finances, our situation through his eyes. Because once we were able to do that on the inside, now when we were looking, we were still not out of debt. We were getting there. But we weren't seeing defeat, and we weren't seeing these messes, and we weren't seeing a ruined marriage. We were starting to see through his eyes, which were lots of hope. And he was teaching us how to speak to our mountains, not talk about them, but talk to them. And
that's important.
Yeah. And I did. It probably drove Rusty crazy, but I had scriptures everywhere.
Literally everywhere. There was, when you opened any door on the back of it, on the mirrors in the bathroom, I mean, everywhere you looked, seriously, there were scriptures everywhere.
If you went to the refrigerator, there was a scripture.
And it made a difference because it kept it in your mind. And when it's in your mind, when you keep reading, I mean, you just don't open it. I mean, you read what's there because
What scriptures?
What, like prospering scriptures?
Psalm 1:3 became so...
Revelation.
That was huge for me. We will be like trees firmly planted by the streams of water, so our roots are going deep, ready to bring forth our fruit in its season. Our leaves will never fade or wither, and everything we do will prosper and come to maturity. So see, I had said that probably hundreds of times. I had said it, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we were speaking it, we were listening to it.
I even remember taking a Walkman or a...
iPod
to work, and I would listen to messages all day long, every day, except for when the phone rang. But it makes a difference when you listen to messages.
Romans 12:2 says that we are to renew our mind to the word of God. So that's what we were doing.
We were changing the way we thought.
Right, because our thoughts had gotten us in a mess.
Right.
And now that we were... thinking
a big mess.
More, and we were thinking the way he thought. And where is it in Romans? It talks about get out of debt and stay out of debt.
Romans 8.
So, what I was learning from that scripture, because I was very convicted on it, I started. Not only was I speaking it, but I was praying, and I'm like, "All right, well, God, if your word says stay out of debt, well, then you got to show us how to do it. You're going to need to provide because we got a mess." And that's exactly what he did. And so as we were speaking to our mountains and really getting it locked in, not just in our heads, but it was getting in our hearts, it was changing everything. It was changing our marriage. It was changing our finances. It was changing the way that we parented.
It was changing totally everything that we did and touched, how we treated people, how we looked at situations and praying about things. It definitely makes a difference, because if you keep doing the same thing and expect it to change, I think that's called insanity.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had done that. We had that T-shirt. We had done that for so many years. But
so,
here, oh, go ahead.
You talked about the difference between talking about your problems and speaking to them. Can you build that just a little bigger?
We started speaking, you know, there's a scripture that says that God spoke those things into existence before they were. So that's what we started doing. We started speaking that we were on our way out of debt, we were going to stay out of debt, and we were going to owe no man anything except to love them. We spoke over our marriage. There were things that I did not see in Rusty yet, but that according to the Bible, I should see. So I started speaking things, you know, Rusty is the priest of our home. He is the head of our home. He is a godly man. He serves with integrity. He loves me faithfully. He will never leave me. He will always be by my side. He will always encourage. You know, I kept speaking the things that I didn't always see, but that I wanted to see. And we've really learned to do that. And you know what? It's not easy, because it's when you see things right in front of you, you really have to work on seeing them through God's eyes and what his word says. What we can have, what we can do, not what the mess that we've made or what our children are doing or not doing. Or
a lot of times we look at the natural, the way that like the how we feel, how we view things, because the things that happen have to happen in the spiritual first and then in the natural. And that's just like in your mind. It has to happen up here in your mind before it can actually happen because you speak it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I should add that when I was asking God to fix Rusty, he did say to me, let's work on you. There are a few things we need to work on with Linda, and I'll take care of Rusty. And I really had to start doing that, like trusting God that he was going to take care of the things that were not the greatest with Rusty and the things that were not the greatest with me. And we just kept getting revelation after revelation. Mm-hmm. How best to...
What?
I think that it really pleases God when he hears us speaking his word. When he hears us taking his promises and repeating them and praying over them and meditating on them and believing them and then walking it out. I just really think that makes him smile.
And speaking to your mountains, when David killed Goliath, before he even got on the battlefield, the victory was already won, because he knew in his mind that God was going to help him, and he knew that what the outcome was before he even got there.
Yeah, he said in 1 Samuel 17:45-46, he said, David said to Goliath, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. And today the Lord will conquer you. And he went on to tell Goliath what he was going to do. Well, we had to start doing that in our marriage. We had to start speaking what we wanted in our marriage, what we wanted in our finances, what we wanted in our relationships and our children. Regardless of what we were seeing, that's the reality, that this is where we were, all that debt and marriage a mess. That was the reality. But in looking at it through God's eyes and his promises, that we had to keep our eyes more on God and not so much on the natural. Right. Yeah. Yes. And it's fun living in the supernatural because you really never know what's going to happen.
That's true. But I think a lot of times we still today, even though we... Have you ever heard somebody say, well, we're never going to have any money, or we're never going to have, you know, or the kids are never going to get it? Be careful what you say, because what you say will come to pass, whether you believe that or not, and that's the truth. So if you want to be prosperous, you have to speak prosperous. And
3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper, that you would be in good health, even as your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions prosper. So God wants us to have the whole enchilada, the whole thing. So he's still, I don't know that you'll ever get to a point where you got it all figured out. And that's what's fun, is that you get to be a student lifelong. And so he's still teaching us about the kingdom and the way that he wants us to do things. He's teaching us about sowing. He's also teaching us about reaping. And we were doing the blessed life. It was here. And I remember in Sunday school, and I remember after one of the sessions, I was standing in the kitchen, and I was really praying. And I said, God, I really wish that everybody would get this revelation about giving and, you know, how great it is and, you know, da, 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 da. And he said to me so clearly, he said, yes, I want them to give, he said, but I want them to receive from me too. And there was like this sadness that just came over me, that he's grieved that, yes, you know, there are so many of us that are understanding about giving, but we're not receiving. That for whatever reason, we don't want to let God bless us.
I think the Satan has some things to do with that, the way that we think in our mind.
It's time for those blinders to come off. We don't serve a limited God.
That's right.
I mean, his resources are unlimited. He's got enough for us. He's got enough for everyone. And what was really cool is he's taught us that we, as the body right here, we are the answer to each other's prayers.
That's right.
If Mark and Wendy are praying for $10,000 because, you know, maybe they need to replace a car or... See, Mark's in receiving mode.
It's our job to find a way.
Yeah, and if he puts that on our heart for Rusty and I, and he says, you know, you need to bless Mark and Wendy with $10,000, well, we have a choice to make. We can either go ahead and do it, knowing that God is never going to put us in a position to leave us without.
He always has a way.
He always has a way, and he's always wanting to get more to you, especially if he knows you he has your heart, and he can trust you. Because when you're tithing and giving, you've put yourself in a position where God can trust you.
Right.
So.
And if we don't have the money,
right,
then we pray for a seed for God to give us so that we will have the money. So then we plant the seed, and then we have a harvest.
In 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, God is the one who provides seed for the sower. Now, I always use Butch as an example because he's the only farmer I know, I think. I guess. I don't know who else farms. But I always talk to Rusty about Butch and farming. And Rusty, you know a lot too. But if God is providing the seed for us to sow, like if we don't have $10,000, but we know that God wants us to give $10,000 to Mark and Wendy, then the cool thing is we get to listen, and God's going to tell us where to go and what to do and how to get $10,000 to give to Mark and Wendy.
But you can't use that $10,000 for yourself because you would be eating your own seed.
Right.
And right. Then, therefore, you would lose your blessing.
Yes. You were going to talk about...
The farmer.
Yeah.
There's no farmer that would actually leave their harvest in the field. Like when a farmer plants his seed, if he plants corn, he expects corn to come back. And we were talking this morning about you can't leave your harvest in the field too long because it'll rot.
Right.
And if you take it too soon, you don't get a total harvest because of the moisture in the corn. Is that correct? You'll get more money for it, and your harvest will be bigger if you wait at the right time to harvest your corn or your soybeans.
So see, some of you are sitting out there, and you've been giving, and you've been believing for breakthrough and for a change in your finances or your marriage or your children, work, whatever it is.
Don't give up hope.
Don't stop. Because chances are, if you give up, it's right before the harvest was coming. And that's what we've learned.
That's when the toughest time is. Yeah. Is just before your harvest, actually. Because we related that, well, I heard someone relate that to a woman having a baby. Just before, like, the 9 months, and just as she goes in to have the baby, that's the toughest time, just before she has it. And the nurse is saying, push. And it's like really tough on them, I assume, because I haven't done it. Which I'm sure it is, like passing a bowling ball.
Okay, that's true.
But anyhow.
Reeling in.
But anyhow, that's when the toughest time is when you, just before your harvest, and you don't really see it until it happens. And then, but you got to stand in faith and stand in agreement with each other.
Yeah, and that's where, as a husband and wife, we have a lot of power because we can come into agreement on things, and there's so much more power in two than there is one. And so we get to do that with anything that we're praying about or money that we're sending out. We get to pray together over it.
Right.
The other thing, and this really is big, is there is a wealth transfer coming. And God has been very clear with us that so many are not ready. He can't trust us with, like, he couldn't trust Rusty and I with, if somebody had given us, like, I don't know, $200,000 when we were in such a mess and we hadn't gotten the revelation yet and had been tithing and giving and doing things God's
way. We'd have blown it. I promise.
Yeah, we would have.
But now that we know that we've been stolen from long enough in this time that we take back ground for our church, and because there is a harvest coming.
And it says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaves an inheritance
for his children,
his children's children.
But the wealth of the wicked
is laid up for the righteous.
Is laid up for the righteous.
And we are God's children. We are the righteous. As born again believers and followers of Christ, we are righteous because of what Jesus did, because of what he died for us. I don't ever, and I know I'm guilty of it, but I really don't want to live a life less than what Jesus died to give me. I don't know. I was just thinking.
For the riches.
But the
true riches are the souls of people, not all of our stuff. And we probably got a lot of stuff. But
Max Lapido.
I remember in a Sunday school class, and some of you might have been in there. But he says, I want you to take a whole bunch of stickers, and go through your house and put the stickers on everything that's going to burn. At the end of time, and the things that don't have a sticker on it is the things that is going to matter, and really the things that are going to matter are the souls of that God's going to take.
Luke 16:11 says, "If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven?" Okay. That needs to be our ultimate goal. And if we're doing things God's way, and if we're trustworthy with what he is giving us to steward, then we get the ultimate, which is true riches, which is people. That needs to be our main purpose, I think, is to be able to lead as many into the kingdom as we can. You know what? Rusty and I couldn't do that when we were so beat down under so much debt and our marriage falling apart. Cody was sick all the time. There was just always something. You know what? You can't be about your father's business if you're busy taking care of messes that you've made. And that was what we had to learn, was that we are free now. We have lived debt-free since
2006
or 2007, something like that. It doesn't cross my mind anymore. We don't even have a credit card. We just don't. We look at it as if it's something that we are supposed to have and we don't have the money for it. Well, God, your word says, but right, it's either we don't need it, or God, your word says that you want us to keep out of debt. We don't want to, you know, we're honoring you with the way that we live, so you show us. How do we get this, you know, a home, a car, whatever it may be, tuition for school, whatever it may be,
we go to him.
Yeah. I think we're out of time.
I don't know if any of you want to come up, and Linda and I want to pray a blessing over whoever wants to come up front. I don't know how you want to do this, Tim, but that's fine. I mean, okay.
we can stay all day. You know, you saw our mess. Nobody should feel intimidated.
God's no respecter of persons.
And here's a real big revelation. Money doesn't fix our problems. You can think that it does, because it was money that we used to pay off all of our debt. But once you get a revelation, that's what fixes. The revelation, once you have that, then everything else falls into place. The money will come to you, because you're going to use it the way that you should. Marriage is getting restored because we're walking that out and doing the way God said. So if any of you, please don't be embarrassed. I know the first time I went to the altar, our church in Florida was like 500 people. I was, again, probably going to vomit because it was so scary, but I felt, I knew I was supposed to go. So I had to push through that fear, and it was amazing to be able to do that, and that just started me on a journey of not being afraid so much.
If anyone can come up front, I mean, if I'm up here, anyone can come up here.
This is true. This really stretches.
Because I kind of feel like, I was going to say this at the beginning, but I didn't want to speak something into my life that really wasn't there, because sometimes I feel like I'm Moses and Linda is the Aaron.
Was that a compliment? I think
because she can speak sometimes so much more better than I can, but the guys and the people still need to hear from me, yes, because that's what God called me to do. So I don't feel uncomfortable at all. I don't know what happened, but anyhow.
Sure you do. How many people prayed for us today? A lot. Every time we walked a few feet, can we pray for you? I was like, wow, either they really want to bless us, or they're like, man, they need prayer.
We need prayer.
And the youth, too. I didn't clear this with Cody, but we've taught him since he was little how to tithe. And that is something that we have watched him do, and our little ones are givers. We love that. We love that our kids get that revelation. And I have never seen really anything that Cody has had a desire to do or want. We've come into agreement with him, and I'm telling you, it's so cool, but the phone will start ringing, and it'll be, you know, guys, men, job sites or whatever wanting something, and they want to know if Cody will come do it. He's just like his dad. He shows up on time. He does a good job, and they pay him very well. I'm like, dude, you're 17, and you're making a lot of money. This is good. This is God blessing him because he knows the first thing he does is he gets his money and he takes out what the tithe is. And when we as a family feel a burden for someone or something and we share it with our kids, they're right in their, Cody's in his wallet and our two little ones are opening up their banks.
Because they learn by example.
They've learned from us.
Not just by us telling them.
Sharing and they've seen it done, and that's what we need to do. We need to show our children what it means to trust God and to give without any thought of, oh, I don't know, because, you know, he was saving for a projector a couple of years ago, and he never wavered. He'd get a couple $100 in, and he'd take 20 out and put it aside. If we had something that we wanted to give, he took money out and gave. And this does, you know, for us to have been such a mess for so many years, it's just nice to see that God has just turned that around for us and for our kids. And so we're breaking off some generational stuff that could have either was there or could have come from us, not being tithers, not being givers, not trusting God. So if you need prayer in any of those areas, yeah, we would love to pray. And I have frankincense and myrrh.
Stay there. Don't move. Freeze.
What do you say to someone who says, yeah, that all sounds good, but I'm still feeling very hopeless that in my situation I'm ever going to be able to just pay the bills?
Yeah, we felt that. We really did.
Yeah, we've been there and we've done that. I guess it comes down to totally trusting God for everything that you need. I mean, there's nothing that he can't provide for you because he owns it all. Until we get that revelation, I don't know that.
When we wrote out that $38 check for our tithe, that left nothing in our checking account. We were $200 short on rent. We didn't have many groceries. This was what we had been doing wasn't working. So it really was stepping out in we didn't understand that we were stepping out in faith. We just knew we were desperate for a change. Mm-hmm. Rusty wouldn't back down on tithing. So, and it was good that he didn't. I mean, I'm thankful for that. It changed our course.
It won't make sense in the natural.
No.
But it will in the spiritual. And then when you see it happen, you'll be like, that's just all God. And a lot of times it is all God, because there's no way that we can do naturally what he can do. When he puts his super on our natural, that's where the supernatural comes in.
Yeah.
He's been full. Like, if he had a Twitter feed, it'd be blowing up today. I know, that's funny. She needs Facebook status space to get a paragraph, but you have these one-sentence things.
That's pretty much us.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And what would you say to the family who says, we will give something to the church once our debt is paid off?
It won't happen.
You won't take that one?
It won't happen. The chances of you getting out of debt and staying out of debt without the revelation of what God wants to do and doing things kingdom way. Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught the disciples, well, we're disciples. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. He's talking about his government coming here to earth, his way of doing things. We either do things his way, or you can be a Linda and Rusty. For those years, not fun.
But God will show you, just like he showed, was it Peter? To go get the coin out of the fish's mouth. Now, would that make sense to any of you to go down to a river and catch a fish and pull the coin out of his mouth and pay your taxes? Mm-mm. Would that make sense? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But when we do it God's way, there's always a way.
Yeah, there really is. You just have to be open and listening. And then if you're married, and if you're not, you have a BFF, you know, somebody to come in agreement with. Is that still around, BFF? If you have a good friend.
20 years ago.
It's 2 years obsolete. How dare you?
Is it? Oh, my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Wendy and I have BFFs, okay?
It's 2 years ago.
Well, okay, so I've been busy. Oh, okay.
I make a living being out of date. It's awesome. Okay, can I?
Yep. All right, I'm going to pray. Worship team, come up. And you've heard their heart. You've heard some of their, or no, they won't come up. You're going to play something? Oh, awesome. Great. You've heard their heart. You've heard a little bit of their story. This is obviously scratching the surface. I recognize you're going to have some different convictions scattered around. Some of you are going to say, well, that's not what I believe. That's okay. It doesn't matter if you agree with them on every point. Take what you can, process it, pray about it, and see what God is saying to you. Okay? We're not asking for everyone to agree with everything that is said into a microphone in this place. That's just one of our core values, is we think and let think. But we do ask you take seriously what God is saying to you and wrestle with the scriptures. So, I'm going to pray, and then anyone who wants to come up and have Rusty and Linda pray a prayer blessing over them, you are more than welcome. You're always welcome. If you have anything you want us to pray for, to get prayer, pray for each other. Let's pray. Go ahead and stand. God, we love you. We are so grateful for Jesus, who though he was rich, you know, I'm going to say to you, God, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, though you were rich, you made yourself poor so that we could become rich in you. We could become royalty in you, that we could become wealthy in you, that we could become forgiven and become your children, and that we could have the inheritance of belonging to you. Thank you, Jesus, that your poverty made us rich. And now I'm asking, God, that we would willingly give away everything you ask us to be rich in your kingdom. We want to follow you in that downward path that is actually more blessed. We want to follow you in that prosperity of soul, where we just hold everything in this life materially so loose that you trust us enough to let it flow through our hands to build your kingdom. We're not even up in here today praying about having big houses and nicer cars. We are in here praying about your kingdom coming to earth and us not being bound and enslaved and limited. We are praying about being freed up to walk in liberty and trust that whatever you say, we can follow, and whatever you do, we'll be partnering with you to do it. So we say more, God, open our hearts to receive blessing from you. Open our hands to give whatever you say to give. God, we repent of our distrust of you in Jesus' name. We repent of our selfishness and our greed in Jesus' name. We repent from hiding from your blessing in a poverty mindset that's actually rooted in greed, not in trust. It's not rooted in righteous heart. It's not even, I know exactly what I'm praying, and it's okay if you can't say the amen to it, because I know what I'm praying. I repent in Jesus' name of greed hiding against prosperity. Oh, we're not a prosperity gospel, and it's actually just greed. It's distrust. It's me holding on to wealth and hard work and pride and sensibility and human wisdom. So we break that off in Jesus' name, and we embrace faith in Jesus' name. And we speak to this mountain of our dead, and we say, move. We say, move, and we invite you, God. We will comply with your instruction. We will walk in the path of your command. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.